All right, guys, good evening. This is great. I love seeing so many young people and so many college kids here as well. This is a cool evening, and one of the reasons that we're kind of having a special baptismal service is we've got some college students who are either headed home for the summer or who are headed home indefinitely and wanted to get baptized in front of the Covenant community that was so instrumental in bringing them to faith. And so appreciate you guys being here. It'll be an evening that's kind of dedicated to the sacraments. We'll do some really brief teaching on baptism and some really brief teaching on communion, and then we'll participate in these things. And I hope the regularity with which we've had communion the last 2 weeks does not take away from the special place that it has in the life of the believer. But this is a unique time where we can stop and really pause away from some of the activities that sometimes a Sunday morning that can often get in the way. So I'm going to open in prayer, and then we're going to sing a few songs, and we'll go from there. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gospel. And even as we gather together here, brothers and sisters from all walks of life, we are reminded of the unity that we have in Jesus Christ, because we are one in Him. And it is only account of Jesus' work in our life, His death, burial, and resurrection, that He has dealt with our sin, and He has brought us to life. And so we celebrate that this evening. I pray for these five people who are giving their lives to you in the picture of baptism, and that you would minister to them, that you would remind them of the significance and heaviness of the pledge that they're taking, the symbol of dying and being raised to newness in life. So be with us. We worship you. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand and worship with us.
Thank you.
never really preached in shorts before. My mom would not be happy with me. Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, "It is by the grace of God that a congregation is permitted to gather visibly in this world to share God's word and sacrament. Not all Christians receive this blessing. The imprisoned, the sick, the scattered, the lonely, the proclaimers of the gospel in heathen lands, they stand alone. They know that visible fellowship is a blessing. They know the physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer. The older I get and the more missionary biographies I read, the more I read on the persecuted church, the heavier these type of gatherings weigh upon me. I don't take them for granted like I used to. Sometimes they were burdens to me when I was younger. And now as I get older, there's just an appreciation I have when brothers and sisters take time to gather together, that we exist, we congregate, that we might encourage one another, that we might teach one another to keep going and to press on. And as you read about the persecuted church, it's one of the things that they weep over. They will get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. They will walk for miles and miles and miles. And there's nothing that keeps them from gathering together. And I think sometimes we take that for granted. And so hopefully even on a Sunday night, you guys appreciate doing this, that this is not a burden, but it is a blessing in which we can see God's grace to us. Tonight we have a bit of a special gathering. We're going to celebrate the baptism of 5 young people. And this is a big deal. I think sometimes, at least in the Protestant tradition, we diminish the importance of the sacraments. What God has given us in baptism and communion are there to signify, seal, and celebrate the truth of the gospel. And so we're going to have an evening devoted to reflecting on and participating in these 2 sacraments. Scripture clearly teaches that they do not save us. We are saved by faith alone. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Ephesians 2:8, by grace you have been saved through faith. Galatians 3:26, for in Christ you are all sons of God through faith. Baptism and communion do not save us. They don't add to our salvation, but they are part of our salvation. They are certainly part of the salvation experience. They're not burdens that we are left to uphold. They are gifts that we humbly receive. We're physical beings, and I love the fact that God is so gracious to us that he's given us physical expressions of spiritual reality, things that we can touch and we can taste and we can hear and we can feel. It's a reminder to us that this physical world is good and that it's not antithetical to a spiritual world, that we have physical bodies and that we will have physical bodies in heaven as well. And so these are gifts, but they're also commands. In Jesus' final words in the Gospel of Matthew, he says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. So we see that in 2 ways, that there are 2 ways in which disciples are made. It is in teaching obedience, and it is in baptizing. And getting baptized would be the first act of obedience. Baptism is a command, and it should be heeded by all believers. That's one of the reasons why, historically anyway, baptism always preceded communion. Because in communion, we're examining ourselves before the Lord and reflecting on our lives. And if we've not been baptized, we're living in disobedience. And so maybe we should refrain from communion until that has been remedied. So firstly, baptism for us is an act of obedience. Secondly, we baptize to signify our faith. In it, we identify with Jesus. Like Christ, who died, was buried, and raised again in newness of life, so too we symbolize our dying and our going under and our coming up in newness of life. Our conversion, when we come to know Christ, it's not just about attesting to a distant truth. It is an actual miracle whereby dead people are brought to life. It's a reality that's seen in baptism. We are new creations, cleansed of our sins, and pledging now to follow our Redeemer forever. But it also represents the link between our conversion and entrance into the body of Christ. In the Old Testament, the outward sign was circumcision that tied us to God's covenant people. But now baptism is the outward expression of this new spiritual community in which we're born again into newness of life, born now into a heavenly kingdom. And finally, baptism shows that Christ is a reality in our lives. We're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's not just some pluralistic religious ritual that somehow appeases a random God who may or may not be out there. it is uniquely declaring that I am Christ and he is mine. Baptism is the outward expression of an inward reality, you will hear us say often. It's taking a knee before our King, who entered into the earth in death and rose again in victorious life and glory. And so it's a symbol, like a wedding ring. What if when I married my wife, I said, honey, I love you. That should be enough. We don't need vows. We don't need a ceremony. We don't need rings. They don't add anything to that. In one sense, that's right. Those things don't add to my affection for my wife, but they are demonstrations of the depth of my love and my commitment to both to her and what other people will now see as a result of the covenant that I made publicly upon my wedding. That ring on my finger is forever a reminder of the union that I have with my wife. It also shows every other woman where my loyalties lie, that I am hers and she is mine uniquely. And that's why weddings are public, and that's why baptisms are public. And so baptism, in a sense, is public because it puts skin in the game, and sometimes at great cost. For most of us, our baptisms were celebrated and encouraged by Christian homes and Christian communities. It's not always the case. I was baptized in seventh grade, and the church clapped, and my mom cried, and my dad hugged me, and everybody rejoiced. But that's not always the case in every family. We're reminded of Jesus' words when he said, I did not come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. And sometimes following him in the sign of baptism in particular will cause division even in families. And that happens at times, even in America. And my guess is it's only going to increase as time goes on. And so I commend these young people for making this commitment publicly. Two of them are brand new believers. And we've talked at length about maybe the reproach that will come with knowing Christ in this culture. And they're willing to take that step. But where God calls, God protects, and he provides. Amen?
Amen.
And that is why, and that's the way it was in the early church. For the Romans, you weren't really a threat in just cognitively assenting to some sort of confession. That didn't really, you could place Jesus with the pantheon of other gods and it didn't really bother them. But the minute you got baptized, when you publicly identified yourself with Jesus alone and you threw your lot in with the church, you had a target on your back before you even dried off. Now remember, there were also no baptismals in the early church. They met in homes and they didn't have indoor plumbing, and so they would have to go to a public setting to baptize, usually in a public bath or even in a river or a lake. And they weren't just doing it before a supportive audience. And many times the local community would gather around them in the midst of this to mock them, to identify who they were, so that when they came out and began to live their lives, they bore the mark of a Christian and try to kill you because you were an enemy. So this is a big deal, not just for the individual. It's also a big deal for us as we watch and for the church, because it not only marks a pivotal moment in the lives of these young people, but it should encourage us as well. Some of you who have walked with the Lord 60, 70 years, and you follow all the headlines about the exodus of young people from the church. You've heard me say this before. I don't think young people are leaving the faith. I don't think they were ever in the faith. And we've patronized kids to some degree, and we've kind of slapped Jesus stickers on them, and we've sent them off. But they've gone to college, and they've gone into young adulthood with empty vessels. And colleges were all too quick to fill it with all manner of false religion. I love teaching these college kids. And I hope that there is encouraging as you watch this, some of you older people, you sit there and go, you know what? The gates of hell do not prevail against the church. Remember, the gates are a defensive weapon. The offensive weapon is the gospel, and it wins the day. And so we see it even here. Don't follow the headlines. Look around in our community, and here you'll see a number of young people who are committing their lives to Jesus Christ. It should encourage us and remind us of the vows and the signs that we have taken as well. So Wednesday nights are one of the highlights of my week, and don't get me wrong, sometimes starting teaching at 9:30, I'm tired, and I don't know what happened at about the age of 35, but 9:30 all of a sudden got late, and yet I rarely do they leave, and sometimes that is after midnight where I don't look at my wife and say, man, I love this. I love it. It's noisy. They stink. I love you guys, but this is my basement. It smells awful after an hour of 60 teenagers in it. But it is fantastic. And I love not just walking them through the scriptures. I love almost weekly we say, who shared the gospel this week? And they're telling story after story of proclaiming the gospel with a boldness that I think, frankly, many of us adults could learn from. Now, two of these young people are brand new believers. And so let that encourage you. These are brand new siblings that we are now adopting into our family. Not just in picture, but in reality. And so be encouraged. God is still at work, friends. And so celebrate them. Celebrate with them tonight as they take the first steps in what hopefully will be a lifelong commitment and allegiance to King Jesus. So let me pray, and then we will baptize them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel. We recognize that this world is broken. There's evil, there's death, there's wickedness around every corner. And yet you have provided a way. In your holiness, you sent your Son to bear that punishment that we deserve. And you rose again in 3 days to declare victory over sin and death. And it's in that hope that we place our trust. That you sit on your throne even now. You are a living God. It's not just a figment of our imagination, but you reached into time and space. You were able to be touched and felt both before your death and after your death. And you will come back with a physical body one day. So I thank you for these young people. Continue to pray for your work in their life, that the Holy Spirit would convict and teach through your word, that they would, if they leave here, they would get plugged into solid churches, that you would provide men and women to mentor them and disciple them and then continue to shape and mold them, that they would be tremendous proclaimers of the gospel in their communities. We love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
A little bit differently this evening, since we got a little bit more time and we're not tied to the structure of a Sunday morning. Each of these people are going to give their testimony very briefly, so I hope that encourages you as well. Kind of puts a personal touch on it. I would let Hannah do it, but she talked for 25 minutes, and so I had her write it out. This is Hannah Culkin, and Hannah is going to be a senior, correct? So I grew up in a Christian home, so from a young age I understood that I was a sinner and needed to be saved. I also understood that Jesus was God and died on the cross for my sins and rose again. At the age of 5, I prayed and accepted Christ as my Savior, and I asked Him to forgive me my sins. Today, I want to get baptized and proclaim my faith in Him. So, Hannah, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Have you confessed your sin to Him, and is now He now Lord of your life? And do you pledge to live for Him all of your days? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you.
Thank you.
people and their electronic devices.
Thanks, Susie.
This is Gabby Ehlich, and she has come to the Lord in really the last month ago, roughly. She's the epitome of what Paul says, somebody planted, somebody watered, somebody brought in the harvest, but God has given the growth. This was, and there were a number of people who poured into Gabby over the last year.
So for those of you who don't know, I go to UMindy. I'm a sophomore, currently studying human biology. This is all pretty new to me. I just started going to UMindy's chapel, and literally after my first day, a week later, I became their full-time bass player for the music ministry. And I was invited by Esther to join Bible study here and eventually to join Life Point Church. And I just started going here in January. And it really made a huge, it just made a huge impact on me. Although I am transferring to IUSB. For those of you who don't know, it's in South Bend, 2.5 hours up north. I will be studying radiography. And I hope I eventually get connected to a church there and hopefully find a home there. And so I was debating on getting baptized at either Life Point or back at home, but eventually it was like, why not here with the people that helped me get to where I am now? God has blessed me with pretty amazing people this past year. Esther, who was the one inviting me here in the first place. Christy, who kind of became the big sister I'd ever had. Pastor Nate and Kirsten for opening up their home. And I've had conversations with so many people, Eli, Daniel, Myra Dawson, Kai Alpha, Stacy. Probably forgetting people, and I apologize, but I don't know what the future holds, but, I have God and I have the people that he blessed me with, and that's all I need.
So that's something you guys can pray for, that Gabby will find a good, solid, gospel-centered church when she heads back to South Bend. If any of you know of one, find her afterwards and make a recommendation. So, Gabby, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Have you confessed your sin to him? Is he not Lord of your life?
Yes.
And do you pledge to live for him all of your days?
Yes.
On that confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Spirit.
Carlos threatened a cannonball into the... making it serious until just now. This is Carlos Garcia.
I'm Carlos. I am from Southern Indiana. And so I was raised Catholic by my family. And I basically just did everything that my family told me to do. We just went to church. We did all the traditions there. We didn't really speak much about the gospel, which is something that is super important, as I come to know. But when I started getting a little bit older, we started to stop going to church. And never really connected. Once I got older, it wasn't really personal. Especially I started, like, my family, my parents got divorced. And then I started going to high school at the same time, so it was kind of a double whammy for me. And so I was only taught to pray a certain way. It was already said. It wasn't really personal for me, so it wasn't very comforting at the time. But then a few years later, my friend Joe from home, he is a Christian, so he invited me to his Christian church back at home. And it was super different because you worship what you sing. Do the sermon, talk about the gospel for like 45 minutes, which was so weird to me. Because to me, it was like you talk about the gospel for like a minute, and then the priest says something, and it's you're done, and you go back to the traditions. But for here, it was 45 minutes, and I was like, whoa, this is different. And I was like, keep going. But then he closed the Bible, and I was like, oh, come on. Anyway, and so, yeah, and then that happened, but I had to go back to college at UND, and then a few years later, I'm here now, and someone introduced me to Bible study, started going there, got saved, and then I started coming here, and I was already aware of how the Christian church was, so I was super happy for that. And again, once Pastor Jim closed the Bible, I was really sad, but it was all okay. So now I just, that all led me here to be baptized, and I just want to profess my faith and show the world that I'm a Christian now, so...
So Pastor Jim's sermon will be an hour and 10 minutes next Sunday. Carlos, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
Have you confessed your sin to him? Is he now Lord of your life?
Yes.
And do you pledge to live for him all of your days?
Yes.
On your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are you glad you came tonight?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, we're going to give them a chance to dry off and come back out as we get to experience communion together. So let's stand. We'll sing, "Come Behold the Wondrous Mystery."
Thank you.
truth, to teach one another in songs. In Christ alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found.
So there's going to be some teaching through liturgy. So we're proclaiming in communion the death of Christ our King, and we're anticipating his return. The bread and the cup, which represent the body and blood of Christ, they show forth the story of the gospel in a visible and tangible way. They showcase the great story of our redemption through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. We are reminded of our salvation that was accomplished for us in the past through Christ's victory over sin and death. The salvation that is applied to us in the present by the powerful work of Christ's Spirit in us, and which we receive by grace through faith. And the salvation that will be ours in the future when Christ our King returns and makes all things new and celebrates with his people the marriage supper of the Lamb. It must be said, then, that participation in the Lord's Supper is a uniquely Christian event in which only baptized believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are called to participate. It's for those who, having been humbled and broken by God because of their sin against him, have now been restored to fellowship with him by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and have been given a seat at the King's table. While the bread and the juice remain just that, bread and juice, we are truly nourished by the true spiritual presence of Christ our King as we truly receive one spiritual blessing after another from his hand at the table. In light of the great story of redemption, which is shown forth in the Lord's Supper, Paul warns us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 29. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Brothers and sisters, let us examine ourselves before coming to the table. Acknowledge the gravity of your sin. Confess such sin. And if you have sinned against a brother or sister, if you have sinned against the person you are sitting next to, then go to them in confession and repentance and pursue peace. And at the same time, acknowledge the great gladness of your heart as you come to the King's table to be nourished by him and to enjoy sweet fellowship and communion with our triune God. So I want to invite us right now to take some time to examine ourselves. We'll take a few minutes in doing so. And then after that, I'll go ahead and lead us in a corporate prayer of confession and assurance. So take a few moments now in prayer to examine yourself, to confess sin, to be restored if a relationship's been broken. So let's pray together.
Thank you. Man, as body of believers, what a neat night to celebrate with these new believers getting baptized. I encourage you guys to stick around. Meet someone new. Go out and grab some cookies. Just encourage each other as we leave here. What a great visible representation. So let's pray as we leave. Before we do that, high schoolers, we're going to still have small groups. Middle schoolers still have small groups. And parents of high school students, join me in 102, 103. Grab some cookies and we'll see you there. Heavenly Father, you are so, so good. Thank you for giving us so many different visible representations of your word. Lord, as believers, the visible representation that we've been crucified with Christ and that we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. And the life that we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave his life for us. So Lord, as we leave here, let us not just know those scriptures, but let it take it to heart and let us live our lives in such a way that show that we're living for you as Lord and Savior of our lives. Lord, we love you and we thank you for life. Amen.